Very fucking unprofessional.
This should remind me of this a constant thing, you know what I mean?
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
You know what I'm saying? From down the street, though.
Turn this shit up.
This that 96 big body sitting on chrome.
Yeah.
Super sport Chevy catch me riding alone. Slapping T. Davis got me singing along. Too many.
I don't care what the weather is around you right now. Roll your windows down. Turn this shit up.
They don't know what I'm on.
Get your energy levels high.
Remember, and I did it on my own. No hit records, no number one songs. Just real life worthy in the turf with my dogs. I'm giving free game if you listen.
Do something fly today.
This motivation, yeah, for the hustlers.
There's enough suckers in the world.
The pimps and the hoes know it's nothing but love. Even though my life different, I still have.
Y'all can't tell I have missed this.
Still grounded with the homies. Don't forget where you from. Cause where I'm going is the top, so you know that it's up. So when you see us at the table up in Tower, it's us. Riding 96 leather on them. Thanks to the plush word.
This is, without a shadow of a doubt, D-Talk of the Town, what your town is talking about. Unprofessional as fuck with your host, Ruck, and this is episode 231. It's been a long time, y'all. I take full accountability. I'm gonna take my time now. Yeah. So happy to be back with y'all, man. Let's talk about the culture today. Music, entertainment. Leave the sports to the sideline. Pun intended. Chevy Parliament. Bang, heavy, stiffy, you listening to Jay Worthy London Drugs. That shit slap. I need y'all to check in on the post, and I will let y'all know what we opened with. But this is I'm a Fly Drive. Shout outs to everybody involved in this joint. That shit's fire. I was full-fledged and into dropping some of the music I've been working on as far as like intros and outros for the pods, but now I'm getting a little bit stingy, man. I can't even lie to y'all. It's getting to the point to where I'm like, keep giving out all these doses. Then, you know, when it's time to give people the full concoction, they're going to be looking at it like, oh, I remember this. Oh, I remember that. And that's something that I always, you know, find myself not being approving of when it comes to artists. You know, I spoke about it. Benny dropped his Def Jam debut. Of all the songs that there was, he had dropped 4, you know, before the project is released. And then you're like, damn, you know, leaves you to be creating shit up in your mind as far as whether you like the project or not before you even get it. With that being said, I'm going to hold back a little bit of some of the things that I'm working on. Got more things in the works. Got some dope shit definitely on the way. But in the meantime, in between time, we back. Fully aware that it's been some time, y'all. Like I told you ahead of time, that the balancing was going to be very much so focused on. And, you know, I've been dedicated recently to home life, which is never the wrong thing to do. There's been some great, you know, things going on around the house. The kids are fully involved in, you know, in extracurricular activities inside of their schools now. So that being one, and, you know, just making time for me and the wifey and the kids all to have some, you know, quality time inside the crib. So that's been where the onus has been as far as time and you know, doing the balancing act. With that being said, you know, sometimes you can feel like you're in a constant rush, which I've been feeling like for some time. You're at work and you look at the clock, or, you know, something takes a little bit longer than usual, whether it be speaking to your points of contact or just the process in general. You know, you could always try to get things down to a T as far as if everything goes right. Even in some points, take into consideration the worst case scenario, like, you know, should this go wrong or this take longer, still have a gauge on where you're going to be. What I've learned is, you know, you've got to just appreciate the moment that you're in at that moment. Whether it is a day where you thought you were going to have a lighter work day, be able to come home and work for yourself. It's not always the case, but in order for you to even be in position to do things like that, you got to take care of business first and foremost. So I'm glad that that's what's been happening. And now we back.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
All the ducks are in a row at this point. I'm definitely ready to knock shit out as it comes, you know, into play. And that's where we at with it. Forgive me as I catch up on the culture. I'm not going to focus on too much of the old news. just shit that I got a strong opinion on. None stronger than this. I know y'all have heard it by now, but if you haven't, from his burner account on Instagram, that guy, man, J. Cole, shared a snippet of what he's been working on and maybe a feel for what's to come. If you haven't heard it, turn the shit up.
Powered up. It's powered up.
David Chappelle,
yeah,
set.
Said I was finished, but I want another 2 summers. Hall of Famer hungrier than all the newcomers. Niggas swear they compared, but the truth humble. If you fuck 112, you couldn't do numbers. Hey, tell the label I got A's all throughout math. That mean I'm keen on the numbers and I count fast. You know it's money that you owe me, niggas phony. And I'm why Queen Phoenix walk the line, I'm about cash. Benjamin yeah. Button getting younger as the hours pass. Should do the freshman cover twice, I'm never outclassed. It's not a rap, nigga, breathing that could outlast. The fall off is like holes, y'all reasonable doubt last.
Come on now, man, y'all know that shit's fire. One time for the guy J. Cole, man. Get that shit, you know. Get ready. Now, when I look at this, I think this is possibly the first look at where his mindset is going into the Fall Off project. And, you know, it's been rumored that that was going to be his last project. Now he's saying he needs another 2 summers. I'm here for that. Still, I'm of the mindset that somebody who cares about it the way that it's so apparent that he does. You could say that you're going to walk away. You could say, oh, you know, that chapter is closed. And then one day get that bug or just realize that it's necessary. That when you look at the landscape and how things are going, there's nobody who could knock you off that throne. So just continue to do what you do. If he says 2 more summers, I'm here for that. I hope that 1 summer from now he feels like he needs another 2 and we just keep riding this wave. But shout outs to J. Cole and definitely looking forward to this project. It's crazy to think that we might not have heard his best at this point. Talk about a guy who puts his best foot forward, has an amazing catalog as it sits today. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this upcoming project's going to be his best.
What the feezy?
Now, I think about personally my favorites in his catalog and might not be the same as everybody else's, but for my particular reasoning, maybe just where I was at in life when it dropped. I feel like the Forest Hills Drive joint was something that sticks out to me. The offseason was definitely another great effort, but I mean, where has he missed? There's really no misses. And I've heard a lot of people say For Your Eyes Only was a different type of joint. The beat selection a little more smooth, a little lower tempo, but the guy was, you know, reaching a different pinnacle in life. He had just had a child. He was, you know, focusing in on that family life. And with that being said, I could 100% understand that selection and how the music came out that way. But that's something that you got to appreciate. It's somebody who's going to look at this like art and make sure that when they come to their canvas, they don't just paint what everybody else is doing that seems to be successful. Rather, sharing what only they could share and giving you doses that only they could give you. And kind of leaving a pathway and a blueprint for young individuals who may be following him. And when they get to that age, can relate to some of the bars at that point and say, okay, you know, this fatherhood shit is cool. You know, taking care of your responsibilities is dope. Locking in on loving yours is official. You know what I mean? So I always applaud what this guy's got going on. I cannot wait. Recently, I've been feeling like the energy and that's one point of it, right? Then the recent feature run that he's been on, a lot of people have kind of likened it to the point of bringing up the crazy feature run that Wayne was on. Can't say was because he's come back and continued that type of, you know, stronghold and putting the foot on the neck of everybody in the game. But J. Cole right now is doing that to me. And I just got to say, man, I mean, the way that he's been talking about shit concerning, you know, the rankings as of late. If you ask me, he's the bar right now. Of course, he has his 2 counterparts he's always going to be linked with. When people talk about the big 3 discussion, I feel like he is the top and the pinnacle of that right now. And I don't even think it's close. No disrespect to Kendrick Lamar, the guy's amazing. His mind, in my opinion, is for a different purpose. The theatrical, the poetic type of thing. Not to say that Cole don't do that, but I'm saying, like, when Kendrick drops a project, that's Pulitzer Prize, you know, worthy. That's something that you can see become an adaptation to a theater play, something along them lines, right? And that's dope as fuck, especially coming from the West Coast. And a young man who's trailblazing in his own way, but the lack of consistency as far as, you know, frequent drops leaves the door open for people to become prisoners of what have you done for me lately and forget what the guy's done. I, for one, won't. The only reason why I say that Cole is separating himself from the other two. I'll get to very shortly. But if you ask me, Drake is definitely the one that's keeping the lights on. He's keeping the business relevant. He's moving around the way that people like to liken to Taylor Swift as far as moving the economy. In the music game, if it wasn't for Drake, despite however the fuck you may feel about the guy, more doors would be closing than even windows, you know, being opened or peepholes even being added to a door, for a lack of a better analogy. It's obvious that what he's doing is keeping the lights on. Shout out to him for that. But Cole to me is different, man. He could do what the other two do, as well as a plethora of things that they cannot. And to me, I'm just excited for the fall off and will be attending whatever concert or tour coincides with it. Not alone either. I'll be taking the entire fam, and I just cannot wait to share that moment with our kids, with my wife. And it just be a full circle moment, being that Forest Hill Drive album, right? Maybe why it has a special place in my heart, because when me and my wife first met, that was something that we were listening to. I mean, that first meeting of ours, that album must have played like 4, 5, 6 times. You know, in succession, while we were just sitting there getting to know each other, and it was just great background music and a soundtrack for a lot of people's lives, and I think he provides that in a way that the other two counterparts of his are just maybe doing for others, but it's at a different type of level. You know, it might be the party music when you talk about Drake, a Kendrick album. There might be some things that you could, you know, slap in the car. Some things are more so in the crib. Some things you listen to and you may not go back to because it might not be your cup of tea. But when you talk about artistic ability, an analogy that I've used in the past is, you think about boxing, right? I would say that Kendrick Lamar likens his style more to an Olympic style boxing and that type of scorekeeping versus Drake, who may be the flashy guy who just, you know, stays untouched. You could say he's maybe a Floyd, and not to say that he's the greatest. I don't even, you know, put Floyd there at that point, even though I'm a casual boxing fan. But what I'm saying is, he's the untouched Pretty Boy Floyd, Money Floyd, right? Money Man Mayweather. But when you talk about a J. Cole, you talk about somebody who, if they want to make this a one round fight, could come in and do Mike. If he wants to make this shit elegant, come in and do Ali. If he wants to make this shit, you know, just undeniable, Any cup of tea that he wants to spill at that time, he could do, and stain whoever's in this game. So shout outs to Cole, man. I cannot wait for the Fall Off project. And I'm hoping that, you know, it comes soon. We shall see. Another thing that I hope for the other people's sake we don't see anytime soon is people fucking around with Busta Rhymes, man. What the feezy? Stop playing with Busta Bust, yo. I don't know how many times he has to remind y'all that Busta means he will bust your motherfucking lip, bust your face open, you know, bust out in the middle of a fucking packed club and toss you to the sideline, right? I mean, I'm not sure why this still needs to even be discussed, but the guy's not for play, man. I mean, at French Montana's recent release party, an artist by the name of Nizzle Man, pardon me if I'm not pronouncing that right. I'm not trying to, you know, throw shade. I just really am not too privy to the guy, his career, his music. But yeah, Nizzle Man was forcibly removed from Busta's section. And I mean, Busta may very well have security, but when it comes to moments like this, I don't really see them in the camera view when this type of action is taking place. It seems like he handles it himself or with the folks that surround him, if anything. Look more so like partners than security, but hey, they may be playing, you know, both roles and wearing two hats. The video shows Nizzle Man being taken out like Ben's on trash day. I mean, if the cameras would have followed, I'm pretty sure Busta removed this man and put him on the curb and told him to sit there until the trash comes, whether that's next week, tomorrow, or 3 days from now. And when they get there, politely hop into the back of that joint. Like, the man's not for play. Why y'all keep fucking around with him? If the Dave Chappelle incident wasn't enough evidence that you should leave that man alone. Nizzle Man, I mean, you're just another guy, you know what I mean, in the way. If anybody else was even thinking about considering, I think that you should type in Busta Rhymes, Nizzle Man, and see Exhibit C for yourself. That's on y'all, man. I want to take the time right now to remind Busta and the entire conglomerate family, any of his friends and folks and loved ones, that here at the Unprofessional as Fuck Network, we're big fans of him and his squad. Love what you got going on, Bus. You know what I mean? Keep doing your thing, fam. Speaking of doing your thing, man, I've been doing my thing tree free. Today marks 114 days, no weed, man. Still enjoying the process. I'm never going to look down, forever going to be an advocate. And those who partake are welcome to do so in my presence. I promise, you know, I'm no tree police. It's just, you know, I'm enjoying my time now without it. Friends have asked me recently, how long are you going to go? You know, I'm anticipating me returning to the game. And my answer as of late is I'm done. Now, could that change 20 years from now, or, you know, way down the road when everything, you know, that needs to be accomplished is accomplished? When I feel like at least the major work is done and now it's at the time for reflection and chilling and just embracing the next stage. I could see, you know, sitting on the porch with the wifey and indulging every now and then. But as of now, I'm pretty much chilling. I'm glad to see that it's getting, you know, turned around. The stigma around it is being turned around, especially, you know, in Germany. Now legalized marijuana for recreational use on a limited basis. One time for Germany. February 23rd, Germany's lower house of parliament voted to legalize tree for a limited use despite warnings from opposition and medical authorities. Adults in Germany can now possess small amounts for personal use, making it Europe's third country to do so. As of now, and I should say that I'm also an advocate of this, under 18, the use is still banned. You want to give kids the opportunity to make decisions at least at the age of 18. Not to say the tree is something that's going to put you down a dirty, dark road, but I'm not a fan of them being able to smoke cigarettes at that age, a fan of, you know, whatever it may be. There's reasons and rules and regulations for shit, and although some of them could be excessive, I think that if you're going to do that for cigarettes or put a legal age on alcohol, then you should throw weed into that same scenario. But it should never be on a controlled substance type of level or listing. So, I mean, if you're going to be prescribing all these medications, you know, left and right to whoever has access, I think you should also leave the door open for people to find them another route to go that's going to be more beneficial and healthy to them. So shout out to Germany for doing that thing. Let's talk some upcoming shows, man. Shout out to Peso Pluma. I mean, I'm going to be 1,000 with you. I'm excited for the guy because we had been talking in the past, you know, in previous pods way back a long time ago about the transition that he was making and thinking about, you know, is he going to get to that point where he's doing collaborations with artists that are mainstream here in the States? Will the music transcend? And the way that I just seen the organic growth from where, you know, it may be the person that already takes a liking to that style of music that sits across from you. And whether you knew that they listened to that music or not, it wasn't something that they, you know, were humming in their head or out loud, you know, as they were chilling around, or something that you heard them slapping in the car on the pull up. But then eventually with this guy and the emergence of his music, it started to change and you started to see these things. You start to go around and just be out in the public and hear this name keep continuously coming up. Now the guy's fully taken over, man. North America tour has been announced, covering the country. 41 stops, making his way to Sacramento and San Francisco in late August, I believe the 21st and 28th. Don't 100% quote me on that. And I just love to see it. Although I'm not a Peso fan per se, you know, I haven't really listened. But I just love to see a young man getting his paper, man, and paving the way and just setting that tone. Breaking down, you know, walls that were in the way as far as, you know, the stigma that may be attached to this style of music. Just let that shit fall by the wayside, get out there and make a name for yourself that's going to just open those doors for everybody else and offer another route to go for success and notoriety. I'm all for that 100% wholeheartedly. So if y'all have a chance to go make it out to that tour, do so, man. Congrats to you and your people. And make sure if that's your guy, you go out and buy these tickets, patronize. You know, I want to make sure that when these tours are announced and when you go to these venues, that not only do they sell out, but they get packed. So the next time he does a tour, maybe it's a bigger venue. Maybe he goes to certain cities and does more than one show, which I'm seeing as a possibility for San Francisco. I think there's more dates that have announced since the release of this actual post and announcement. All for that, man. Congrats. Go out and do your thing. Make sure that y'all patronize this tour. as long as you are where you need to be in life.
What the feezy?
Now, if you live in rent-free with people who raised you and thought that they had finished that job, don't you dare open that Ticketmaster app. I don't want to see you split this motherfucker into 12 payments. I don't want to see you, asking somebody. I mean, damn, there's some motherfuckers who ask you to front them everything, right? Everything under the sun. Hey, man, fuck, man. All that shit, if you're in that position, please don't even open the Ticketmaster app. Figure out what you got going on, man. If you still, deciding between a full tank of gas or beer in small increments that doesn't come in glass, I need y'all to pass. Don't fuck with it. He's going to be at Coachella. That's where this whole tour opens up at. That's going to be televised. If you're, at your caretaker's house, ask for the password to the Wi-Fi. Enjoy in the comfort of somebody else's house if that's at all possible. You know what I mean? Do what you got to do. But really do what you got to do. You know what I mean? Not what you want to do. It's a difficult thing to think about, but it's called being an adult. It's all good, man. More tour news. 21 Savage, 21. The American Dream Tour featuring J.I.D., Nardo Wick, and more is coming to the States. 30 dates have been confirmed coming to Concord May 9th. J.I.D., like I said, another member on this tour, Nardo Wick. Definitely a huge J.I.D. fan and a bigger fan of 21 Savage than I would have expected in the past. And I got to be honest with y'all, man. Shit should be a good time. If you are, not in the Concord area, then make sure that you tap in with the post. Go, Google that and find out when he's coming your way and pull up. It's definitely going to be dope to see. You talk about J.I.D., a guy who I think could headline a tour on his own. But to be on that bill with a 21 Savage, it just seems like a perfect pairing for him to cross promote and for both of those fan bases to now have a doper look and a deeper visual as far as what the other artists are able to contribute. I only see success coming from this, so shout outs to both of those gentlemen. That tour should be a good time. Do what you do, man, and make it happen. Unfortunate. Kind of a somber news to report. I mean, you hear about convictions in a murder trial. And normally you would say, if you're from the outside looking in, I guess the cliche thing to say is closure, right? Closure. But if you've ever been close enough to where you really feel the feel of these things, you understand that despite what happens, whether it's through the legal system or not, closure is very hard to come by and maybe never comes at all. Definitely in the case of the death of Jam Master J, legendary DJ and third member of Run DMC, this is the case. You think closure, but in this case, maybe not. Maybe it's just reopening up and a whole new scab, a whole new scar has been opened, right? I say that because the two men who were convicted in this crime are none other than Jam Master J, real name Jason Mizell's godson and childhood friend.
What the feezy?
Carl Jordan Jr., 40, and Ronald Washington, 59, allegedly killed Jason after being cut out of a drug deal. Pardon the pause, but it's disappointing to me, man. It's fucking sad for many reasons that I want to discuss. The whole story to me is just shameful. For one, that somebody who was such a bright light to this culture, to this world, and changed so many lives. Whether you know it or not, some of the artists that you love and, look at as people who've made classic albums or have storied careers who are in the position now to open doors for others were first given their shot by Jam Master J. We don't got to get into that here. I'm going to do a deep dive on Patreon. Make sure that y'all subscribe and tap in. But to think that it could be your closest that would take somebody this huge and important and pivotal to our culture and our genre. And it could be your closest ones that take you out with money being the root. That shit is just insane to me. More so that somebody, like I said, that's pivotal to this culture as a Jam Master J has to be in a position where they feel like they got to move drugs to make money and provide for their family. That shit is shameful. Not casting stones at Jam Master J or what he did or the decisions that he made, although, you would really hope that there would be a different opportunity, another route to go. I think we are all forced to look in the mirror at this point and say, well, what could have been done differently than a person that's broke down the fucking wall, literally. You think about the Walk This Way video with the collaboration with Aerosmith and what that meant for hip hop going forward and the visibility and the opportunity to see them on something like an MTV Don't quote me, unfortunately, if I'm wrong, but I still do believe that they were the first hip-hop group that was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Y'all know how I feel about hip-hop having to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but if they want to be honest about it, you know, they should have been, you know, whatever. I'll get into that later. I'm just so upset that this culture and this art form and that the people that came after predecessors like this, the forefathers of the game like this, haven't already set something up to make sure that regardless of where you are in life, some piece of the puzzle and some piece of this new pie that's coming hot out the oven with numbers that nobody could even have dreamt of back then isn't in position and being offered or given to these guys without it having to be asked for. We know what it is to be a man, to be prideful, especially to be somebody who had that type of notoriety. I can't imagine what it would feel like to have to, you know, humble yourself to the point to where you say, hey, shit's getting difficult out here. But for you to have to resort to doing shit that could get you locked up or even worse, especially in this case, it's just unfortunate and something that I really think needs to be changed and fixed as soon as humanly possible. This whole shit is just shameful to me, man. Rest in peace to the legend, Jam Master Jay. Prayers and thoughts and love out to his family and loved ones and fans and all, you know, anybody affected by this. And let's do the work now before we lose another legend, another pillar to this game over some shit as stupid as this. Let's please start making the corrections before we have to take this big of a loss. It's possible. There's a lot of money being made out there. A lot of different routes that you could go. This game has been predatory from the absolute beginning. At this point, if you were in a position to do some things to change that outlook and to fix it, I think it's time to do so. We celebrated 50 years of hip-hop last August, and you've seen acts come out. Not everybody seemed like they were in the greatest of situations. But still came out to get their flowers, to get their love, to be out there on that stage. And I think we have to make sure that anytime any of our legends grace the stage for as much time as they are allowed on this earth, that they come out shining just like the new guys do. Just something to think about. Rest in peace, Jam Master Jay, and much love to you and yours. Two others that you think about when you talk about legendary, maybe two of our generation's best. With Beyonce's recent country drop, she's now joining Mariah Carey as the only artist to reach number one on Billboard's Hot 100 in four different decades. What the fuck? I'm going to read that again, y'all. Beyonce and Mariah Carey as the only artist to reach number one on Billboard's Hot 100 list in four different decades. That just has to show you, you know what I mean? Like, that's mind-boggling to me. I think of the Cher's of the world, the Madonna's of the world, the U2's, the Johnny Cash, the Willie Nelson's, there's so many artists out there who have done a lot, and maybe not all our style of music, but to think that of the only two that ever did it, not only is it from our culture and from our style of music, but it's two ladies. That's just legendary to me. Shout out to both of them. Congratulations to y'all both. And if you ask me, not to say that Mariah Carey's window is closed, but Beyonce, I think, should she choose to continue going down the route of sharing her art, could easily be the first to take it to five decades. And we think about the great acts that still go out and do their thing, the Patti LaBelle's, the Gladys Knights of the world. I could definitely see a world where Beyonce continues to grace us with her wonderful contributions, and five decades in, becomes the only one on that platform if Mariah Carey doesn't decide to join her. Shout out to those ladies and everything that they're doing, man. Continued success to y'all both. Now, from two solidified to another artist that I got to be honest about, I feel a little torn on this discussion. Cardi B has been in the news for a multitude of reasons lately. I'm not going to get into her relationship status with her guy, another high-profile individual. But That's also been another reason. I'll get to that shortly. Cardi B just recently released a freestyle titled Like What off of a remake or an interpretation of a old Missy Elliott beat, right? The Like What freestyle has been released, visuals to it as well. I'm going to play a bit of it and then I'm going to give you my opinion.
No, y'all bitches be hosting. Looking this good is really exhausting. Diamonds hit stone cold, deep boasting. Just got my laser pussies move like a dolphin. Top notch bitch, get the most, not the lesser. Bitches look big like third trimester. Every time I post, these bitches get stressed, sir. Y'all be putting on shit, I don't never. Bitches be hating on the low, I peep it. If I say anything mean, I mean it. I ain't never lost no nigga, I need it. I'm rich, I ain't getting in no pool that's not heated. Big ass, yeah, and I'm having sex on it. Life so trash, think I put a hex on it. Bitches be laughing.
All right, I mean, I think y'all got the gist of it, right? Like What freestyle released by Cardi B. Visual to it as well. I'm going to give my take, and I do not want this to get taken out of context. I don't want it to seem like I'm throwing shade or, you know, hating on Cardi. This is more so just a plea from somebody who has appreciation for her and what she does. Will you ever see me riding around slapping some Cardi music? Probably not. And I'm going to say that not because, you know, I'm you know, too manly or whatever. You know what I mean? There's some dope-ass female artists out there that you will hear me listening to their music. Shout out Rhapsody. Shout out Lady London and them. With a Cardi B, I think it's more so just a substance to where if I pull up at the light and my shit's loud for whatever reason and somebody looks over, and it's Cardi talking to shit like this. That's one aspect of it, but I really don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I'm really not concerned on what the other person's thinking. I just think for me, I know that her presence is important in this rap game, especially as a female artist for so many reasons. But recently, I gotta be honest, man, I'm worried. Not to say that the music isn't still cool or whatever, but it's just cool or whatever. It's kind of lost that bite that it's always had. And I know that she dropped one project that was definitely hard to compare anything else to, right? And when you come back, you know, you got to understand that how long she's been in here and how much that she's done. The next studio debut album is going to be her sophomore album. Everybody talks about a sophomore slump. To be able to still, you know, reach that heights again with what she did in that first album is going to be difficult to say the least. She has featured on other things. She has, you know, had a run that way. She's done a lot of business and stayed in the light. But to me now, you know, with these visuals and the recent social media presence that she's had, it just seems like everything's a little bit different these days. I mean, I don't know. Me personally, I think the reason why the world fucked with her is because she was so relatable. And in some aspects, you know, more than not, I still feel like that may ring true. But you talk about a girl who came from the Love and Hip Hop show and where a lot of people, you know, go there after the career is done. She used that show and was maybe given a small, you know, portion of it, then quickly became a fan favorite where storylines were revolving around her, and then took that and made sure that that wasn't the pinnacle of what she did. Was able to remove herself from that umbrella and continue to do great business and make a name for herself in many different ways. And now I just feel like that relatability and the things that we've seen from her are now more so displayed in a way that's unfortunate than it is, you know, something to be celebrated. And I don't want that for Cardi B. I really do think she's important. But to me, what looked effortless in the past for her seems to be chased now. And I really hope that I'm wrong in this. Do feel like her presence is definitely important, and I want to reiterate, this is no shade, just serious cause for concern to me. And I'll leave it at that. Still, though, I can't wait. I hope that her next effort is celebrated and it gets back to what she does best, which is what she does and nobody else can, you know what I mean? Just deliver that music and that dope shit that just seems like it's her and something that she does without even having to think about, you know what I mean? Shout out to Cardi B. I say all this because I don't want you to end up like Dylon. We all remember the classic Chappelle Show skits where Chappelle played many characters. He did a Diddy impersonation and also impersonated this guy, Dylon, the old Making the Band joint, right? If you don't remember, or maybe if you weren't around at that time, let me help you out.
This is what's up. You can live here, you can record here, you can be bad boy artists here, but if you want to do it, first y'all gotta walk to Queens and get me a sugar cookie. A sugar cookie, man. This is crazy. Yeah, come on, man. Bad boy. A sugar cookie, man. Look, this is not what I got in the music business to be doing, to be a sugar cookie getter. You know, I'm a rapper. Who are the five best rappers of all time? Think about it. Dylon, 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 and Dylon. Because I spit hot fire.
Classic, man. Hilarious, and we all remember it. All found it funny at the time, but maybe we didn't do enough thinking about how Dylon himself felt, and now, due to a recent interview we did, I guess we know.
Dave Chappelle said the top five rappers are Dylon, 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 Dylon. I'm a well experienced. I never said that. Now, again, we could talk about the joke all day, but this is We Are Flatbush.
That's a fact.
And I gave you my history.
That's a fact.
So let's talk for real. When they did that, again, now all the people that he made fun of, he made the quote, or when comedians do these jokes, they say something that you said, and then they bust it and put it in their own way.
They remix it.
But this is something that I didn't say at all. So I have no control over this. You said I'm top five rappers. You said I spit hot fire. And I'm over here as a kid saying, what are they talking about? Dave Chappelle. About. Not only that, but right after, anytime I send my music to DJs, they say, oh, that's the nigga that Dave Chappelle made fun of. Now I'm good on that. Not only that, but every promoter says, nah, we're not booking him. So now I have a newborn, and the fridge is empty.
Come on, Dylon.
In 2005, I'm empty. No one is calling me. Everyone is laughing. This is legend now. I'm legend now. Now I'm legend. I'm fucked up for what you just did. And you're not answering the phone. No one is answering the phone. So everybody said, oh, your boss, no, man. You've gone through, man. You make it. How? When at that time, no one picking up their phone. Not a one label.
What the feezy? All
right, man. There's two routes you can go with this, man. You can serious it out, or you can get to the funnies. I'm going to choose the funnies. Shit was never hot fire, Dylon.
What the feezy?
Shit was never to the point to where motherfuckers was like, yo, give me that new Dylon, you know what I mean? And you can't, you're not alone in that. You think about it, Babs, think about Ness, think about, I can't remember most of the other joints. Chopper, I remember as one, Freddie, I think. Oh, it's fucked up. The only one I don't remember is a young lady who was singing. That's shady. She did get another look, though. She was in the crowd as an extra at the 8 Mile battle ciphers, you know what I mean? She did a thing out there. That's fucked up, bro. But, think about this. In a group with Diddy involved, you were the questionable individual inside that joint. I'm going to say that again. In a group comprised of people that Diddy put his stamp on, with Diddy involved in that joint, you were the questionable individual then. Obviously, we know a lot more now. Maybe those skits would be completely different, and maybe even something that we wouldn't use for comedic purposes, obviously. But what, you know what I mean, what you're doing right now, blaming Dave, you said in 2005, we're now in 2024. Whatever baby that you had is now 19 years old. Are you going to look at that child in its eye right now at the age of 19, or even at back then, at the young age of maybe 3, 5, fuck, change a diaper of your newborn in 2005 and tell him that because another man made a skit, you weren't able to provide? The fuck? What you doing blaming Dave now? If anything, he breathed life into you when nobody was even really giving a fuck about making the band. If they were ever at all, right? Of all those groups that Diddy put together, when you think about making a band, when you think about Day 21, Danny D. Kane, fuck, there was other groups and, you know, adaptations from that. But, I mean, the least successful was this group. Still, I don't see any of the other individuals coming out here and blaming anybody for their lack of success or giving them praise for their success. Just Dylon, 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 and Dylon. Your bitch hot fire. You need to chill out, bro. No disrespect. I ain't trying to use an accent and, you know, appropriate or none of that shit. It's just fucking synonymous with saying his name. Chappelle has made it that way. And is that a cool thing? I mean, think about it, though. Why not lean into it? Why not put out a piece of music at that time, sampling that clip, using Dave Chappelle? Maybe Dave ain't answering the phone, but what does he owe you, right? Try to capitalize off that joint. Copyright the phrase, make merch, and quit bitching. It's not up to any man, woman, child, entity, business, comedian, A&R, music producer to fill the fridge for you and your children. If you have a baby and shit's getting real, it's time for you to make an adjustment. Talking about humbling, maybe you got to humble thyself and provide, or you're failing at a lot more than music, fam. I got absolutely no sympathy. Shit sound like a lack of accountability to me. And at this point, to bring this back up, when people have even forgotten about the skit, if it's not for being brought up in certain sound bites like we played, what's the point? At this point, you're talking about 2005 and 2024. What are you doing, fam? I was trying to get to the funniest, got to the serious. You know what I mean? They play hand in hand. But to me, I can't imagine going to my child or going to the mother of my child and saying the fridge ain't full because Dave made a joke. Because Diddy ain't continue the band. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It might be easy to say when you've never reached these type of heights or whatever heights that they thought they had reached in the game. But is it going to be somebody else who's able to write the final chapter of your story? Or is it going to be you and your actions and what kind of work you put in? You can either make excuses or you can execute. You can get to it or you can go through it. The choice is yours and the decision is made daily, hourly, half hour by half hour, minute by minute. If you ain't figured out how to fix the process or get to some type of progress in 19 years and you still bitching about a skit that came after the band was disassembled, and playing on the fact that there was so much fucking animosity and turmoil while that shit was trying to be formed, if you were putting on your eggs in that basket, no wonder you ain't got a fucking omelet at the table. Figure it out, Dylon. And please stop doing interviews blaming another individual for why you're unable to do what you're supposed to do. That shit just sounds weak to me, bruh. For you and for your family's sake and for the future of anybody who looks up to you or has you as a loved one, I hope that you're able to correct that. And before your time is done, rewrite the history and put a different spin on what it is that people are going to discuss when discussing Dylon. My bad. Definitely did not mean to go in on that guy like that, but it's just there's clear evidence out there of people who have taken situations in their life and found a way to persevere, to get through it, to, you know, just maybe do their best, however long it takes. Is there a process for everybody, and is it different, and does it take more time for some, depending on what it is that you're dealing with 100%? But I look at people who have dealt with a million things in this world that could have ended anyone without anybody, you know, looking at them negatively because of it, and they found a way to continue to do what they have to do regardless of whether there was a light on them or they had to figure out a way to be a light for those who depend on them. Let's take that in consideration and move accordingly. Clear example of this. Not everybody's Jamie Foxx, maybe one of the most talented individuals that we've ever seen. But a clear example of when life gives you lemons to make lemonade, and on top of that, make the best lemonade that there could possibly be. Jamie Foxx is showing motherfuckers how to do it. All the while, you know, dealing with what he dealt with health-wise. I don't want to completely absolve him from accusations that were, you know, having him in the news for negative reasons. If that is true, you're going to have to deal with it in ways that none of us will ever know about. You know what I mean? When you meet your maker, you're going to deal with that then. But as of now, I'm going to keep it strictly on you know, his talents and what we know him for, and hope that that isn't the case. But he's a prime example of how you can, you know, execute rather than make excuses. We all know about the health scare that he was dealing with. Different people sharing news about how bad the situation was, how dire his health situation was at the time. Didn't have much to go on. It was kept very private. And now he's showing you how to take a situation that could have crippled most or ended many and make a positive out of it.
I want you to know what happened, and I'm going to tell you what happened, but I got to do it in my way. I'm going to do it in a funny way. We're going to be on stage. We're going to tell you, we're going to go back to the stand-up sort of roots, but I'll tell you in my way. It'll be called What Happened Was. And it's got all the things that happens, especially on our side, on our community, being cloned and all kinds of shit. Niggas can come up with anything. Motherfucking clone, he's a clone. And even when they saw me out, that ain't no goddamn Jamie, that's a clone. I'm on the boat like that, that's a clone. I dove out of a car to save this black woman's purse. And I'm taking a picture that ain't no damn Jamie, that's a clone. Then they saw me with a white girl. That's Jamie.
Hey, man, salute to Jamie Foxx. You know, I'm not going to harp on what we don't know the full facts of, but it's sickening to think about. I'm just going to say that, man, it's rough because I try my hardest to not fall into those same traps that, you know, most people do. Whereas if they like you, then you could do no wrong. But what I do want to use is this particular instance, in this particular moment, and just use it as a learning point for whoever that is out there right now dealing with whatever it may be, whether it's a health situation, whether it's a, you know, financial situation, whether it's just a lack of motivation, a lack of focus. You know, I joke and make these stupid jokes and jabs or whatever. At the end of the day, shit ain't really funny. Regardless of how you feel about somebody or what your personal experience is with them, or, you know, however you guys are, whether you're in good standing or not. If you're just a human, you would hope that somebody would get so tired of hearing shit that they would make a change. And hopefully it's not because of you or your actions or what you've done. Hopefully it's because a light switch is flipped and they realize, you know, the importance and what really matters. And at the end of the day, whatever, you know, likes on a post or, you know, whatever look that you feel like you're portraying out there really is so minuscule and matters nothing compared to the mark that you make on the people that are around you. Yeah, you know, we get caught up in this social media hype where we think that it's important to be out there, to be looked at, to show, you know, our best moments and capture only the highlights of life. Now, I know not everybody is comfortable or vulnerable enough, and maybe the internet, you know, actually the internet's definitely not the place to go display, you know, your lowest moments. However you got to cope, figure it out and do what you got to do. But all jokes aside, man, getting away from Jamie and just talking in general terms, regardless of how I feel about whoever I feel about, at the end of the day, we're humans, and you would hope that if it's not for them, that for whoever is innocent in the situation, i.e., you know, maybe children, their parentals, you know, their parents, their loved ones, you know, their older siblings, their younger siblings, the people they're involved with romantically, their parents, you know, their loved ones, that when they go to sleep at night, that they're comfortable with who you are as an individual, or that you know, that you're comfortable more so than anything, right? That you feel like you're doing what you could do and making shit happen. So many people that share their stories, and it's a motivational type of thing and inspiring. And for those purposes, you know, you can never really cast a stone or really hate on it. I don't think that that's what Dylon's doing. You know what I mean? Before I look like a hypocrite, I don't really feel like that's what he was doing. I feel like that was a cop-out. But still, even if it takes that and it takes the reaction to your video and people coming out and saying whatever they do about that, for you to find a new perspective, then by all means, do what you got to do. I just know that despite the fact that I was very complacent for a good portion of time in my life, some pivotal years. Oh, man. I ain't going to edit it. You know what I mean? Life is life. As many pivotal years where I did less than I could have and never, you know, brought that shit to anybody else as part of my baggage. It was a decision that I made, and it was something that now at this age you got to make up for and compensate. Which once you finally get a good head on your shoulders and start making the right decisions, there's different routes that you could take. You know what I mean? Never be on that, well, you know, look at me now type hype. It ain't about that. Because people was looking at you when you wasn't shit to look at too. It's more so like now that I have another crack at this. Now that God has blessed me with breath in my lungs, blood in my veins, and thoughts in my brain, and another opportunity, another day, another 24 hours to make decisions however I choose to do so, know that it's bigger than you. As a father now, I look at my kids, and there's certain situations that come up, and I just think about hurdles and decisions that I made, and I got to realize that you can't put everybody in that same book. Because your financial decisions at a young age weren't the greatest doesn't mean that your kids aren't going to be able to go out there and, for instance, get a credit card or, you know, make a major purchase and not be responsible enough to take care of it. Kids are doing amazing things these days. Everybody talks about how much time, you know, is different from our years as young adolescents to their years now, whether it be information or just a mindset. Shit that our parents were telling us when we were young. Some of it still rings true to this day, but some of it, you just look at it and you're like, well, yo, you know what I mean? Everybody's path is different. As long as you're doing something that's original to you and something that you love and you're taking advantage of every day that you have here and finding a way to smile or provide smiles to those who matter to you, then do what you got to do. Say all that to say this, man. It's real easy to look at yourself and point out all the flaws and the imperfections in not only, you know, what the outside world can see, but what only you see. And, you know, focus in on those and just, you know, fix the camera lens on that alone. But that's a rough road to travel. Pardon my preaching, but at a certain point, you got to just kind of look at yourself and count your blessings and let the burdens fall by the wayside. I am the last person to talk about not stressing over shit that you can't change. And also, I don't really feel like there's nothing you can't change. I know that certain people look at certain, you know, things in life that happen as final. But I have loved ones who are upstairs in heaven right now watching over and looking at me make my decisions and in my conversations and in my home and in pictures and in thoughts and in reasoning for get-togethers and gatherings, that I know that even death ain't final. But when you do reach that point in life where you're no longer allotted time in the physical form, I just pray that everybody's able to get to that point. And it would be impossible to have no regrets. But the shit that you didn't do because you were worried about the look or what could go wrong, you got to make sure that that doesn't outweigh the things that you tried and quote unquote failed at. No attempt is a failure to me. Bumps and bruises are just life. Whether you're Dylon, whether you're Jamie, whether you're anybody else who was mentioned in this podcast, just know, man, there's a greater later. There's always going to be a lot of people with negative shit to say, but there's going to be the certain select people who have nothing but positive affirmations for you, and those are the ones that you got to nurture that relationship. And anybody who even seems like they got an ounce of some bullshit for you, let that shit go. Not worth your time, not worth your energy, not worth none of that. That's my sermon for the day, man. I realize now I'm going off on a crazy tangent, but that's just how it goes, right? If y'all tired of hearing the ruck rants, then fuck around, sit across from the guy at the table, you know what I mean? Still, opportunities for guests to join the show. As always.
Very fucking unprofessional.
Feel like there's more unprofessional motherfuckers out there. I got a few things in the works. I got my brother AJ Miles going to be returning for a sports show. He told me anytime after 5, we're in a different time zone. I'm going to make sure that I got the time dialed away and got the appropriate questions I want to ask him about hoop. And then, you know, the sports show, we'll have another opinion, some back and forth banter. Looking forward to that. Just hollered at the brother Pete the Chef, see what he's up to, see if he's ready to cook again. Get him back over, maybe explore some different types of topics and go through different avenues, right, as far as the podcast is concerned. Make sure that it still remains in the same wheelhouse as the original show, but with another contrasting opinion and whatever it may be, right? Such is life, man. If everybody's fucking conforming and shit ain't cool. I love the differences in every guest that I've ever had on the show and looking forward to those in the future as well. Got a few things in the works as far as adding elements has always been something that I really loved and enjoyed doing, a different type of challenge. Be on the lookout for more of those. I got some people who, you know, maybe the messages or the routes that I went to send the message wasn't something that they check, you know, more often than different sites or different apps or whatever. So now they've responded, and I definitely made sure to look back and get back. So be on the lookout for more adding elements. The wifey under the weather right now, she's really not feeling well. You know she's not feeling well when she's taking time away from work. That woman is a fucking... She's something else, militant as far as getting her shit done. So for her to be taking time away from work, you know that it's really something. With that being said, I'm going to, you know, wrap this up, get back in, make sure she's fully taken care of. I advise y'all to do the same. But before we do that, you know what I mean, let's close this shit out. Something smooth. Back to it. J. Worthy, London Drugs, Levin Cali, and Compton's Most. I'm a fly drive.
This should remind me of this Compton thing, you know what I mean? CMW shit. It's the young homie P-Worthy, you know what I'm saying? From down the street, though. Yeah. This that 96 big body sitting on chrome. Super sport Chevy, catch me riding alone.
231 is in the books. Just dropped Sports 18 today. Next episode of Married as Fuck will be episode 6. Doing another 2 Patreons by the end of this week.
No number one songs, just real life worthy in the turf with my dogs. I'm giving free game if you listen enough. This motivation.
Gonna try some new things for episode 232.
The pimps and the hoes know it's nothing but love. Even though my life different, I still hang in the slums.
For those in the La Familia tier, going to start to make sure that fourth show of the month is something that's personal and introspective. Gonna make sure that those who are invested in that way are gonna get something that's original and nobody else, a story that can't be told by anyone else, and something, you know, bridge the gap, make us all feel a little bit more acquainted. Still looking to make sure that we continue to grow this Patreon experience. There is a quota that needs to be hit in order for video to be something that is possible to be done. With that being said, if you're a fan of the show and you got somebody in mind who might be aligned with the same type of shit, tell a friend and tell a friend. Video version's on the way, but that's going to be Patreon exclusive. Like I said, a lot of shit in the works, music in the works as well. Shout out to the TM, shout out to Infinity Posse, shout out my brother Jake, both of them. Getting to it. Music on your block, as we always do. Till next time, y'all find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'ma holler at y'all later. Go on.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Late night hype, thick red bone, nigga. That's my type.